Welcome to Is This Good? The show where we boldly, conclusively, and scientifically decide what things in this big wide world are good. I'm Matt Austin, and with me as always is production powerhouse Jason Doyle.
Hello.
Hi, JD. Thanks for coming. And today's guest is quick with the camera, easy with the edits, and fire with the fits. He's the senior producer of No Dunks at The Athletic, where he cranks out the clips that become the shorts, that go viral, that convert the subscribers, that drive the Google AdSense payments, that keep my friends in the furs and fancy cars they're accustomed to. And he does it all while living on the 14th coolest street in the world. Where does he find the time? It's Jerome Chang. Jerome, welcome to Is This Good?
Oh, that's such, I mean, you see it every time when it comes to the show, like, you really do write the intros that help me write the resumes that I need to be updating, so thank you so much for that, and yeah, and thanks for the PTSD for all the analytics meetings that I just had to go through. This is great.
Well, see, we didn't tell you this in advance, Jerome. As I said, you're the senior producer of No Dunks. You work with JD, and actually, this is your performance review, so just get comfortable.
I've been asking JD if we needed to do this, and I didn't know this whole time that he was just saving it for this moment, for this public on-blast review, so I'm really in for it.
Total ambush here.
Yeah.
Well, JD, would you be giving him his performance review, or would someone else be doing that?
Technically, yes. It's supposed to be.
Oh, technically. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Huh. Interesting. Because I was once a senior producer, and you did not do my performance reviews.
Well, Jerome will attest that my reviews are basically like, "We good? We good? Great.
Yeah.
Move on. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. No, like." Things you could improve on, no critical things that he can grow from.
We're talking about
words of
Chang
encouragement,
over here.
Even.
Oh, this is kind.
I mean,
this is too kind.
You know, I mean, he's. It's. I have no notes, like literally no notes. So it's exceeds expectations across the board, and that's all you need to know. You know.
The thing is, JD gets himself in trouble for having such glowing reviews for all of us. That's what happens.
That is true.
Yeah. Oh, you mean you got to do the reviews for like Skeets and Tass and Trey?
Yeah, which is odd
boy.
And weird.
Okay, yeah. That's weird. And you can't just write one glowing review because ostensibly they have to be different by the person.
Right,
so you kind of come up with three different ways to say, I don't know, these are my friends, so...
Yeah, but I literally say sometimes, these guys are my friends, I think they're great. Exceeds expectations, send, submit, you know? Yeah.
And if they're doing their job, to you, the listener, they should feel like you're friends as well.
Exactly,
so,
exactly.
It all works out. Jerome, an important question off the top. What drugs were sewn into the Korean streetwear you made JD bring on a flight to Indianapolis?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, the good news is whatever the answer to that is was left back in Indiana, so we're okay now. But no, it was it's funny because I had only heard about it when I landed in Indiana because they were recording the episode in which JD complained about this. And I felt like such an ass because as I was getting ready to go, I was probably in the airport. I slacked, not knowing this happened. Hey, friendly reminder to bring the police. and even then, JD was so kind to just be like, yep. No problem, not knowing again, and then landing and having people like tweet at me and just say like, we need to see this fleece that he's talking about.
Now, it's not just a regular fleece. If you're thinking something that you might get at REI or Mountain Equipment Co-op for our Canadian listeners, it's not a flat fleece. It's one of those like what I call like a Winnie the Pooh jacket. You know, it's
very
fluffy.
Much so. Yeah.
Yeah. So it did take up a lot of space.
I did not even realize it. Like, I've only seen it, obviously, in the photos on the website. And then when he dumped it, like a loud thud in front of me, I was like, I did not. Like, that was your entire check-in right there. So thank you so much, JD.
Oh, of course. And you know what? Like, it's all in good fun because I would have had to check a bag anyway. And everybody who listens to this show's pee hounds, free hounds alike, they all know I always check a bag anyway. So it's literally no skin off.
No. And honestly, the one regret we have is we forgot to actually put JD in it.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. He should have worn it.
Yeah.
You should have worn it. Or JDU, just get a similar one. I mean, you can get those at like H&M or something. So, I mean, I'm sure not.
How dare you?
Hold on, hold on.
That better not be the case.
I've just stepped in it. Oh, God. One second. Do you have a pet, Jerome? Do you have a dog?
I don't. No, I'm allergic to many pets. It's,
okay. Hey, respect. Hey, you two can do 3 years of getting shots every week at
a
great expense, and then maybe one day can own a dog.
Yes.
But my dog, you know, he's old, and he just paces around the house most of the day. And what I've taken to doing when we are recording this podcast is I will pretend to be going into my room, and then he will follow me like a fucking idiot. And then I'll close the door thereby trapping him in the room.
Right.
But now when I get the ring light out, he's starting to understand that he's about to be tricked, and it's hard to get him in the
ring light's
now.
A little Pavlovian at this point.
Yeah.
Yes, it's Podlov's dog, you could say. Anyways, now he's angrily. I mean, if for people listening, he's fine. It's a big room, and I put his bed in there. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He should be using this time to relax instead of struggling. But look, we got to make podcast magic here. All right, a little housekeeping. If you'd like to support the show, go to patreon.com/isthisgood. And what a great time to go, because last Thursday we released a Patreon only episode, so you can get a free trial and you can go back and listen to that one. And what a joy it was. I'm saying it like that because I'm literally trying to remember one thing to entice people to listen to it, JD.
We talked about storage spaces. We talked
about
I
said something good to make them want to listen to it.
The Barefoot Contessa. Talked about Naked Jamie Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we touched upon? All sorts of things.
Oh, we asked questions about the origins of the show.
Yeah.
And, this is an interesting thing. A podcast that I pitched to Lee Ellis that I didn't ever remember that ended up sort of being similar to their show. Oh,
yeah.
For the full story, you'll want to go get a free trial. And then, as always, you'll want to forget that you signed up for the free trial. And then you'll want to start paying. It's like, I never encourage people to do it like from the bottom of the... Like, hey, if you really like it, you should subscribe.
Support the show. No, you want to lure them into a trap where they...
You got to get them through the door.
Paying.
Offer the free sample.
Exactly. I want it to be a complete act of omission that you end up. I want the kind of subscription that when you get Rocket Money, not an ad, you go back and are like, wait a second, I'm subscribing to this. Thanks,
do you
Rocket
have
Money.
The calendar reminder to unsubscribe. That's what I do. Like in those cases, 100%. Not that I should be offering your listeners that sort of advice right now, but
that's a good tip
approach.
For sure.
It's a good tip.
Yes, I always do that. And I actually, my goal for this year was to run a marathon. And as time ticks on, even though it's only, it's March, I'm getting nervous that I couldn't do it. So I found a marathon in California. It's not too far from me. That is as far away from now as possible. It's in November, just before the start of next year.
Right.
And so I've booked a hotel because they book up fast. It's in a small town. And I've set 3 calendar reminders saying, cancel this hotel. Like, if we're in September and you haven't started yet, you've got to. And then I put another one in October in case, like, sometimes, you get an alert for calendar when you wake up and then you're like, okay, yeah, later. And then 2 hours later, once you're up and caffeinated, you've already forgotten that that exists. So I would say set a minimum of 3, though if it's only a week's trial, 2 reminders and you should be good.
Yeah, because the first one, like, you like unintentionally just put it on a snooze at that point.
Right.
And then you need the proper reminder afterward to like really like kick it in high gear.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And tell a friend too. Hey, if on March 15th, I haven't, can you just call me and say, did you cancel yet? System of checks and balances. Send topics for future shows to isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Hey, and that's free. Okay. And leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Also free, but a bit of a pain in the ass for you. But do it anyways, because the premise of the show is very simple. Jerome, I'm going to give you a topic. You tell me if it's good, but today, for only the third time ever, I believe, that topic is going to be randomly selected by a spinning wheel that JD controls. The wheel is back, and on this wheel, there are 13 topics. Now, you're saying, 13? I thought there were 18 topics on the wheel. JD, you've been on the show before. Why were there 18 topics on the wheel?
Because that's the age of voting.
Very good. That's the age, the legal age to vote on whether something's good.
Right.
But the ITG Congress was in session, and we've decided to lower the voting age to 13.
Wow.
Wow.
It's their future anyways. You know what I'm saying?
True. Absolutely.
Climate change,
right.
They're the ones dealing with this. Plus, they've been bar mitzvahed. They're old enough.
Okay.
They are
fair enough.
All right, JD, spin that wheel. Now, Jerome, don't be scared. You're seeing lots of flashing colors in front of you. But don't worry. These are all things you're going to have an opinion on, like our first topic.
Okay.
Seasons. Now, I would say that seasons are a thing that people celebrate when they live in places that have bad weather. Mm-hmm. Jerome, you live in Toronto on the 14th coolest street in the world, which is...
I don't know if that's the case anymore. When I marked it down, it was listed on a ranking as the 14th coolest street in, like, I think a pretty reputable publication.
No, I looked like a it up. Time Out magazine?
Was it Time? Okay, maybe
Time
not.
Time Out is fine.
Time Out's solid.
Hey, Time Out. It's not the coolest street in the world.
What is it? What, is it Ossington?
It is Ossington, yeah.
It's not terrible. It's a
it's
good
not
street.
Terrible. I just, 14th seems pretty high.
I would argue it's probably not the 14th coolest street in Toronto, actually.
It's quite
now
possible.
That I'm thinking about it.
That's right. I agree with you.
Well, the second it got marked as such, it was no longer in the... like running. Right. It just became uncool at that point.
Time Out the magazine used the phrase in the same sentence as like a Chris Webber, for instance, as in, you know, you think it's something you have and you know, you've really made a good point there, but you don't in the end. You don't have a timeout. You don't have one. The funniest thing is I looked up that list. The number one coolest street in the world is in Montreal.
That's right.
Wellington Street, which or Rue Wellington. But I mean, it's a cool street, but I would never think to say, if you're going to Montreal, one thing you absolutely cannot miss is walking down Wellington Street.
Well, what's on Wellington? Like, what
it, you know, it's Verdun, so it's sort of an area that was very working class when I was growing up, and didn't have a ton of destination stuff on it, but has now like, you know, gone through a gentrification thing, and there's a lot of restaurants on it and stuff like that. But and it's near the canal, I guess. But
gotcha.
It's also, like, I guess, generally cool to, like, not know about it. So I think it, like, the mystique alone ups its coolness
at
that point.
Right,
which then is lost once it ends up on the timeout ranking.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Okay, Jerome, I can't help but feel you're avoiding the question here. No, just kidding. That's totally my fault. Are seasons good?
I don't know any better because I've only grown up in Toronto. Mm-hmm. But I would say... I mean, for someone who likes a fleece, it's good to have it for that season. Like, I'm a big layers person, and I think to that end, it really, like, offers, you know, from a fit perspective, a lot more range on that front. Mm-hmm. And at least due to global warming right now, not that hard to deal with because it is a beautiful spring day outside, for better or worse, right now.
Mm. That's right. 13-year-olds out there, remember to vote Jerome right out of Congress because he doesn't care. But, now, Jerome, what if I told you that even in a place like LA, which I would say is in North America, one of the most famous places that people would say, oh, well, you don't have seasons and that's, I don't like it over there because I want to see the leaves change. I want there to be a winter. What if I told you that there were still seasons here? It's just not as stark a contrast and you can still wear a fleece. People here, you would not believe what these freaks are wearing in the quote-unquote 68 to 72 degree winter. They are layering, and your blood gets thinner, and even
me. What's the dry weather, too? That, like, when it gets any bit chilly, it gets right to your bone at that point.
Oh, my bones. So cold. So cold right now. Yes, you're right. At night, it's not as humid, so it is cool at night. You could still layer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you still into seasons?
At that point, yeah, because, again, it's a variety, you know? I guess, like, maybe because of what I've grown up with, like, I've just learned to accept my fate. So it's hard to, you know, it's a bit of a Stockholm syndrome when it comes to that at that point. Yeah.
Right.
JD, what about you? Are you, like, a biblical, there is a season, turn, turn, turn? You feel like we need these things to mark parts of our life?
I'm a big fan of seasons, actually. I love a season. And
why?
I like why? Because exactly what you said.
Why would you? What do you have a favorite one?
Fall is my favorite.
Okay, then why wouldn't you just want fall?
Because fall doesn't mean anything without the winter on the way. Not to be a stark about it.
Oh boy! But the peaks would be nothing with the valleys.
Exactly.
The sweets would be nothing without the sours.
That's right. You're making fun of me, but you're actually making my point for me.
Yes. Okay. Fuck. I edit that out.
You're exclaiming exactly what we're feeling.
Yeah.
It's in an annoying voice. You know, just because you say the truth in an annoying voice doesn't make it any less true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but now I'm in Atlanta, so our winters are nowhere near Toronto winters, and I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the summers are, I always said I would never complain about the heat, but I'm getting to the point. It's been 10 years. This will be my 10th summer here, and it's hot. It gets really, really hot. Like, it's when they... Like a day they open up Metro Hall for like extreme heat warnings. That's every day in Atlanta. That's a Toronto reference.
I didn't even understand if that was a Toronto reference or an Atlanta reference.
They don't have extreme heat warnings here. Like every day is over 40 degrees Celsius.
You're saying everyone knows it's extreme
heat. Everyone knows and there's nothing they can do about it.
Okay, well, I still think they're bad, and I still think that to the people that say we need the seasons to again, I'll use the voice. Oh, we need to mark certain. we could do that anyways. We still have your birthday. We still have New Year's. Still have the start and end of the school year. You figure it out. I agree those things are important, but you figure it out. But JD, why don't you spin that wheel and give us another topic to talk about?
You are so ingrained in LA culture now. Oh, like, God. You don't even...
I said, spin the wheel! And not going to insult me. Instead of spinning the wheel. By the way, Jerome, you know, JD manually spins this. It's actually like...
I am seeing him physically, like, rotate and... You know, crank it across. So I do appreciate the efforts.
It is. This is just a visualization of him spinning the Price is Right wheel that he has in his basement. Revolving doors. What a topic. Here we go.
Okay.
Revolving doors. Good for energy saving, I guess. Well, let me say this. Clearly, and I didn't do any research into this, the swinging door, is that what it's, the regular door?
Yeah.
Door one.
Yes.
It was first, right? We just would generally assume that?
Like a door that opens and closes?
Yeah, a regular door? Yeah.
I would say. But I would say they wouldn't jump directly to the revolving door.
Would a drawbridge be first ahead of the door?
Interesting.
But they're not this... Why? Interesting. Why are you comparing those two things?
Well, I'm just thinking about, like, before there were doors, there were just, like, open... spaces that you'd walk into. So there was something that at some point someone decided, I need to close a space. Right. I mean, I guess windows are maybe the original doors.
So Jerome's going out on a ledge here, and he's saying the hole came before the door.
Correct. Correct.
Because someone it would be weird if the door was first, and then they were like, what do we do when we want
back
air
in those days, it was very much like The Sims. We just like put people in enclosed spaces where they would go crazy in that moment. Yeah.
Right.
Right before they invented the wheel, they invented the hole.
The first invention was nothing.
Yeah, I guess first door was giant boulder that filled in hole of cave.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, I don't like revolving doors. And I think that you could see, like, the people that have revolving doors, they aren't even confident in them. Because what you'll normally see is you'll see a revolving door in the middle flanked by two standard doors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if revolving doors were good... then everyone would love them, and we wouldn't need standard doors.
Right. Well,
there's also the added pressure because you will see it, and then there would be an ambiguous sign that suggests for you to use the revolving door.
Right.
But then at some point, they'll tell you that the revolving door is out of order, and you just don't know if you can even enter the building at all at that point.
Mm-hmm. Great point. Percentage of regular doors that are malfunction versus revolving doors? Way higher revolving. And I would. This is, again, a guess. I don't even know if they have statistics for this. Please send them my way. Is this goodpod@gmail.com if there are. Injuries. Actually, yes. Oh, no, because a slamming... I literally saw a tiny child get their fingers caught in a regular door.
Okay.
Last week the liquor store.
Wait, okay? That recently?
Yes, it's embedded in my mind because she was screaming. Her father had already gone to the car. I could see him through the window, and she was screaming, but she was screaming in the store also, so I kind of tuned it out. And then I turned around. And I was like, holy shit, her fingers are in the door. And I'm not saying I'm a hero, but I opened the door.
Oh.
She didn't even fucking say thanks. But she didn't have a large vocabulary because the reason she was crying in the store was she picked a pint of ice cream out of the freezer and then followed her dad around the store and just said, open, open, open. Now, that's what she should have been screaming when the door was
the door. Yes.
I said, what's the matter? Cat got your tongue? Anyways, maybe that point doesn't stand. Maybe you get more injured in a regular door. But I also feel like people are, you open a door, there's a 99% chance that you are going to execute a perfect door open, walk through the door closes behind you. Revolving door, a lot of things can go wrong. You can get too many people in one wedge.
I was worried about that. There was the pressure of going in individually, and then there's the, I'm with my friend, can we both fit in the situation right now?
I don't want to be alone. Yeah. So if you and I were walking down the street and we were going to enter Metro Hall, which I hear is something in Toronto.
Okay.
And there was a revolving door, you would come into my wedge?
I think it really depends on the size of it. It also just becomes like a very silly bit that you can do, like, we're stuck in this together.
Yeah. It can go horribly, horribly wrong, though.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. It's a split-second decision. When you're behind your buddy, he's going through the door, and you just decide to jump in with him.
It's always that, yeah.
You're surprising him. You're off balance. It's very easy to get stuck in those things.
Without question.
For sure.
So it sounds like everyone thinks they're bad.
No, I'm going to for the environment, guys, I know you hate the environment, Jerome, but but yeah, no, it's
every regular door is one step closer to him to never having to wear that fleece again.
That's right. Just like hold doors open all the time just to waste power.
Just to air it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like using the revolving door. I find them very intimidating. You never know how heavy it's going to be as well. Right?
Yes, like, great point. Yeah.
Sometimes, and there are some revolving doors that you can go backwards in. I've worked in businesses where...
In Australia?
No, well, it's where you can go...
It's not a toilet situation. It's not a flush situation.
There's a wrong way is what I'm saying, right? It's designed to spin one way. I don't know if that's still a thing.
Yeah.
But you could be like, oh, I'm going the wrong way. You know what I mean? So there's a lot that can go wrong with a revolving door. But I do like that it keeps the energy and the air conditioning in the building.
And what an invention. Like, let's be honest. If we went back to a time when revolving doors did not exist and we had the opening door and someone said, I don't know, it's letting out a lot of air. Right. I'd be like, well, then how else do you want people to get in here? Okay.
Exactly.
Something's got to open. I would never have come up with that.
Never thought of it.
One door will have six tiny doors and they'll all be spinning in a circle like a Ferris wheel. You know how people are like, well, if I went back in time, I don't know anything about science, or, you know, I wouldn't really be able to help that much. But after I told the ancient peoples about washing hands, I would tell them about the revolving door.
Totally.
And they would say, 100%. We don't have roofs. We don't have roofs!
Start there, though, right? You don't have to actually do any of these. You could be the Steve Jobs of the Middle Ages, right? Just come up with the idea and say, go do this. Like, execute. You come up with the idea, and then the medieval people...
But, like, if you want to be the Steve Jobs at that point, like, how do you make sure that they credit you, though? That's key to it, too.
Yeah.
You couldn't just, like, leave the idea as is.
You're right.
Well, you'd be, like, the prophet, really.
That's
the holy man.
Right.
All right, JD, bring up the wheel. Also, one more thing about revolving doors, as JD's bringing that up. They've expanded from the manual revolving door to the electric revolving door at certain airports.
It becomes extremely stressful at that point because it never moves fast.
It never moves.
And then you, like, push against it, but now you're, like, That's the worst thing you can do.
It's the worst thing you could do is touch the door. I don't know. What a fucking weird invention. It's like you're used to pushing on the doors, but in this one, if you touch it, you're not catching your flight. All right, spin that wheel, JD. All right. I'm sure another very important topic will be coming up here forthwith. Customer service chatbots.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay, this is like, I don't know, this is like eating something too spicy for me that I know this is going to be bad and I eat it anyways. I look on the website, there's that little chat thing in the bottom right corner of the website. I know I should just call and wait on hold, but I'm like, let me just do this while I'm doing, I have 12 other tabs open. And it's always the worst experience.
It's awful.
So, Jerome, do you use the customer service chatbots?
I do, if only because it's a mutual agreement that I get, like, I'm busy with something else, and that could just run in the background. Especially as I'm trying, like, I'm just trying to find as many steps possible to get someone to actually talk to me through that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, but then to that end, for some reason, having it just linger on your screen doesn't feel as obnoxious as, like, holding music to me.
That's a good point.
True, but it's more useless.
It is. It's completely useless. I don't know that anyone's ever built out a chat bot that actually answers or solves your problem. But I suppose the other thing, too, is, like, I don't know if those are made for us as much as people who aren't as equipped to just Google a thing.
Right. Well, that's a good question. Do you think there are people that think that they are talking to a human when they talk to these chatbots?
Absolutely. Because that would be my mom, who once got so mad at my father and I, which rightfully so, we forgot. Is it Mother's Day or birthday? But we forgot it. And while she was completely in the right for us forgetting to acknowledge it and celebrate it, it wasn't a fair argument that the e-card company that she subscribes to wished her happy birthday. Because in her mind, she thought someone there thought of Annie Chang and sent her an email wishing her happy birthday, as opposed to her date being in a database and automatically sending an email. So that chatbot outdid both my dad.
She's like, the 24-hour fitness knew it was my birthday. Starbucks knew it was my birthday.
1,000%.
The old video store we used to go to that's not even open anymore knew it was my birthday. Correct. And they said I could have a free rental.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyways, I just saw an article that said it was like, shit, I should have looked it up, but it was some company and they were like on an earnings call saying like, our new AI is doing the job of 700 customer service representatives. And to that I would say not well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're basically doing the thing where you annoy us to the point where we say, yeah, I guess I don't need to know how the software works. Or I guess I don't need to change my flight.
Right.
You are annoying us to the point where we give up. I don't know if that's really what you mean by doing the job of. But
if that's the company goal, like to deter us, then it is doing the job quite well without needing like the actual manpower to do it.
But the phone call menu is doing the same thing. And it's even, it used to be when those first came out, you press 0 once, you're going to a human.
Right.
Now, if you press 0, it gets mad at you. And it's like, you did not select a thing. 000. You did not, 000. And then until you hear, all you hear is it going, beep, 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 beep. And then it's like, we are disconnecting you. You know, and I'm like, and it does take me 10 times as long on a phone voice menu to get where I'm going because they start talking and my brain shuts off. It's a very weird thing where it's like, this would be faster if I listened, but somehow I refuse to listen.
Right.
That's right.
I do enjoy, in a sick way, when you're using like a voice activated phone message thing and they're like, what department would you like? You know, I want housekeeping. And then they've taken the trouble to put in like a clackety clack of a sound effect, you know. It's like just to make you feel like they're. I don't know. I just like that.
Like when you call customer service and someone's in India and they're like, "How's the weather in Los Angeles?" And you're like,
"Hi, this is John."
All right, GD, let's spin that wheel. Let's see if we can get to all 13. We definitely okay. can't. Jerome has a hard out tomorrow, so I don't think we'll be able to get to those.
It's going to be tough.
Oh, an interesting one. Cemeteries as public spaces. Okay, this was okay. inspired because this week I saw a family having a picnic in a cemetery, and it threw me for a loop, but then I looked and I was like, well, they're in a green space. We live in a concrete jungle, mm-hmm. and there aren't that many public spaces left. I don't know. At first I was like, kind of like, that's really weird and I don't know. Icky, I guess. But were the more I thought about it, I was like, this is fine.
Were they just hanging out there, do you think? Or were they like having a picnic near a beloved family member's plot?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, they did take the pointy end of a Dorito and put it into the ground. So what do you, does that mean?
Bob loved Doritos.
R.I.P. Uncle Cool Ranch.
We watered the grave with a nice mulligatawny because soup is the best food to feed a dead person. That's what I'm saying. It seeps into right. the ground. Right, okay. Yes. They can suck out the nutrients as they want.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'd like to expand this, so I want to know, Jerome, what do you think about, like, for instance, jogging through a cemetery or, you know, playing Frisbee? Like, maybe we're okay with someone having a picnic, but then, you know, the further you take it, the more it starts to feel gross again.
I mean, jogging seems like that would make sense because there are built-in paths, so you essentially have your track that way.
Mm-hmm.
Frisbee feels highly disrespectful.
Yeah. I don't know. Especially disc golf, where it's like you're knocking it off the yeah. tombs, the headstones.
Yeah, exactly. So to that end, I wouldn't be about that. Generally speaking, I don't know. Yeah, I guess there is obviously like a stigma and eeriness of just being in that space. So, but if you're comfortable, you kind of maximized your options for places you can be at. So mm-hmm. like on that end, I think it's kind of brilliant because you're never fighting. I mean, I don't know that someone's setting up a barbecue out there, but I'd be interested to know if they try that.
Yeah. Also, if anyone ever gets mad at you, like let's say you're blasting music from a Bluetooth speaker.
Sure.
And the obvious answer is they're dead. They can't right. hear us.
Yeah.
Or you can say we need it loud enough that they can hear us from heaven.
Right.
Oh
right.
my God, that's so big. Or we need it loud enough to drown out the voices I'm hearing.
Right. Right.
Coming from
the tormented souls of hell are really distracting our vibe. And so we really need to turn this pitbull all the way to max.
Right.
Yeah. And what's your problem anyways? We're just playing In the Arms of an Angel by Sarah McLachlan on repeat. Okay. Everyone's enjoying it.
Yeah.
JD, what do you have an idea of what you want to happen to you when you die?
I think I'm gonna be cremated. I would hope.
Oh,
yeah.
You're going cremated.
Yeah.
Is that a traditional for your family?
There is no real tradition. Yes, but most of my relatives that have passed
no
away,
no one's ever died in my
well,
family.
Let me put it this way: my grandfather and his wife, well, it was his girlfriend, really. Mm-hmm. They donated their bodies to science. Oh. And then they had autopsies and were studied at U of T,
mm-hmm.
and they were cremated. And there was a service, like a sort of a big service at the school afterwards. And that's pretty much, I think, what I would want.
Oh, interesting.
Would you have specific instructions on where you would want your ashes to be dumped?
No, well, just I guess my thought is to, you know, say to my kids, like, you know, just take me around and spread me all over the world, you know.
Okay.
Basically, like, give them a huge chore to do, you know.
Right,
like, but also give them an excuse to go somewhere, you know. Yeah. Like, oh, my dad wanted, you know, here's part of them's at the Blarney Stone and part of them's in, you know, Ayers Rock or whatever. But, you know. I don't know. That seems like a tall ask, but yeah, spread it somewhere, you know.
Like, I don't know why my mind went there, but all I can think about was like how to properly ration out. Like exactly, because what if I arrive right. at a certain point, I either run out or I'm at the final point and I have way too much left and it's just like a dump.
Right.
Well, you measure the total amount of ashes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take like you
but
like
that would require you to take it out of the urn first and then place
that's
it
fine.
Back in.
Yeah,
that's we're fine. Okay with that. Okay.
We're okay with that.
Well, are we? I don't know.
I don't know.
There's something magical about the urn.
I know it's the it's the sifting through it.
The comes
ashes
out should be when you're dumping it in the location it should be dumped, not like as a way to, you know, pack it into your fleece to bring to Indiana.
Here's
my
move.
Just do by tablespoons. One tablespoon of my dad is in the Atlantic. One tablespoon.
But how do you know
is in the Redwood Forest?
How many total tablespoons is JD?
Here's the move.
Well, just look at him. He's obviously 12 tablespoons. There's about as much JD as there is in the powder I take every morning that helps me poop.
Oh, okay. Right. I think that's... I'm an athletic screen servings of me.
Now what I want out of this is that as part of the service, very much the way you count like how many M&Ms are in a jar is that we all guess how many tablespoons is JD so we can decide after fact.
Yes, yeah. Put me at a carnival, you know, put a contest. Like a contest. Yes, of course.
And then people get upset. They're like, all right, well, now we got to check. You're like, well, I'm still alive. We're like, well, we have a lot of money on this, JD.
Yeah. The
DraftKings.com, if to bet on how many teaspoons of ashes your friends are.
The other move is just to have them pack me in like a shake, like a salt shaker, like a novelty size shaker. And then,
that's nice.
Then they don't have to deal with my remains and then just sort of sprinkle me wherever they feel like. You know,
chicken breast.
Yes, if the mood strikes, yeah. As far as cemeteries go, by the way, I have taken my kids to play and ride their bikes in the cemeteries. I think.
Oh, you okay?
I think it's a public space, and anything goes unless there's a funeral happening.
Sure,
you know,
of course,
like obviously. Yeah, but yeah, I think Frisbee's fine. I think. You know, somebody in our generation is going to have a gravestone that is a disc golf stanchion. You know what I mean? Like, that would be a baller move. Yes. Yeah.
He died as he lived.
That's right.
Wow.
And then it's encouraging people to play. And if I was dead and buried, I wouldn't care. But say I was aware. I would want people playing and partying. I don't know. Say they do hang out. Say there's ghosts, like that's where they hang out. Mm-hmm. I want people around.
You gave me such a great idea. My tombstone is going to be a live karaoke station.
Oh, perfect. That's great.
And I will select the songs, and then you could, like, anytime that you felt you wanted to come honor me, you select one of the songs, you sing it there.
Nice.
There you go.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Digital tombstones? Do we have these already?
That's got to exist,
yeah,
right?
It has to, I would think.
Someone walks by, you change the year you died in, so everyone that walks by goes, he was so young.
Yeah.
and that,
it's the thing that, like, anytime you receive a number of different packages, it's the one package no one actually picks, but we can be the first.
Right.
Also, yeah, it'd be nice to have a blinking red light, because I know that whenever I go to a cemetery, I never can find the thing.
Yeah.
So... an AirTag, maybe? I don't know. There's a lot of innovation in this space.
I would just love the idea of an AirTag just because one of my loved ones would have the morbid like alert all the time of like, you've lost.
He's in Dallas, body. Fort Worth? How'd that happen?
You left Jerome's body behind.
JD, you know, sorry, going back, I knew about the like donating your body for organs, which I would definitely like to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm never gonna do it. The what's it called? The like for a cadaver. That's like an extra step.
Yeah.
That I don't know. Do you think there's a box to tick that's like, I'll be the cadaver, but you have to promise to give me a couple courtesy jerks before you lay me on the table.
Only in room temperature, no cold situation.
That's right.
Put me in warm water first.
Yeah, you got to warm up your hands before you start working on me or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, a little fluff before these hot male and female med students take a look at me would be nice. And it's just a service you should offer. JD, on that note, spin that wheel. Sorry, Jerome, you can
oh, just you would have medical professors to always like preface like every time they pulled you, it's like, and as you can see, Matt was kind of the man.
This guy fucked.
Yeah.
Cause of death? This guy fucked.
This guy fucked.
All right, JD, what does the wheel have for us today? We've gotten through four. Number five. Can't wait to see. Hopefully it's not something... Okay. Nutritional facts on restaurant menus. So this is not all menus. I think that the rule is if you're a chain, you have to
What's the requirement?
Well, at least in the United States.
Okay.
I think if you're a chain above certain number of locations, you have to put, like, that's why fast food has them on their menus.
Right.
And, for instance, Cheesecake Factory has them on their menus. And
some of them are alarming.
Yes.
Some of them are extraordinarily alarming. I used to think this was a good thing, for sure. Like, if I walk into, like, a McDonald's or something, I'm like, it's good to know how gross this stuff is.
Right.
But then the Cheesecake Factory kind of pushed me in the other direction, where some of these numbers are so eye-popping.
Right.
That my thought is, well, every other restaurant, every, like, quote-unquote local restaurant I go to, where I'm having, as JD would love, a steak frite, a nice bavette with a béarnaise sauce and a hunk of fries. And then for my starter, I've had, I don't know, escargot with just, you know, tons of butter. I'm like, it must be these crazy eye-popping amounts of calories.
Totally.
And it would really ruin my experience if every restaurant had to do this. So now I kind of feel a little bad for the small mom-and-pop chain known as the Cheesecake Factory.
No, I'm with you. I'm anti.
Yes.
I just think, like, for certain places, like a McDonald's or anything like that, I get that. But you kind of know you're down bad. Like, you're going in with that knowledge.
Right.
It's the places that, like, you suddenly think you're kind of making a conscious decision and being told otherwise. You know, it's never good news, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Well, okay, to that point, JD, I should have asked you before. Did you get that image that I sent you?
Yes, I did.
Okay, do you want to put that image up, please? Oh, okay, we didn't discuss because we got the wheel. This is a delicate... Jerome, we could have really used you in Atlanta for this, actually. Do we have the budget? Does the Athletic have the budget to fly Jerome down? Okay, so I picked four dishes from the Cheesecake Factory menu, and because they list the calories, I know exactly how many calories are in each. I'm going to describe these dishes to you. And I want you to order them in terms of most calories to least calories.
Okay.
Okay? So we have the chicken katsu. Then we have the barbecue
ranch. Is it on
ranch.
A bed of anything?
It looks like rice.
It's rice on a bed of rice. Yeah.
Yep.
Chicken katsu, for those of you who don't know, it's basically fried chicken.
Yeah.
Breaded and fried chicken. Then we've got a barbecue ranch chicken salad. Then we've got spaghetti and meatballs, and then we have a chocolate caramelicious cheesecake with Snickers. So again, most calories to least calories.
Okay. All right. Jerome, you have a sense? I have an idea of what's number one and what's number four.
I have a terrible sense of caloric. I mean, like, from someone who just said, I don't want to know this information, the result is I don't know this information. So
okay. Let me take a crack at it.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm putting salad number one.
Okay.
Salad the most, you're saying.
What's the reasoning behind it?
Because ranch is extremely high in calories. And look at that tower of fried onions on top of it.
Okay.
Not to mention the chunks of blue cheese. Avocado, super high in calories. So I'm saying salad number one.
Okay.
Give me the katsu number two.
Okay.
Give me the pasta number three.
Okay.
That leaves the Snickers cheesecake number four.
Oh, so you think I was devious and the dessert has the least and the salad
right,
has the least.
Right,
okay.
Yeah, I thought your reasoning behind it was like, put the salad in there, it's going to be the bait and switch of being the most caloric count. Mm. Yeah, I think I was eyeing the spaghetti as perhaps like the highest amount just because the heavy carbs of the noodles and such on that front.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's the tower of onion rings. It's just all the different ingredients that makes me feel like, you know, this is the example. I remember one time my cousin's two nephews were visiting from Hong Kong. And so, like, being in North America, like, we were feeding them the worst food possible. And then they decided, like, we just really want a salad one day. I was like, okay, let's go do that. And I was thinking, like, let's just get them, like, a really nice green salad. But they chose Caesar salad. And they were talking about, like, this is great. We're having something really healthy. And I had to really hold my tongue to not explain, like, perhaps relatively to what we've been eating so far, but this is not a salad that is supposed to be the epitome of good health.
Right.
Plus the croutons, plus the cheese, the plus the creaminess.
The chicken, I think.
Bacon,
they added to
bacon.
It. Yeah.
Okay, well, you're both wrong. So the answer is katsu number one.
Okay.
But again, I mean, it's a chicken. I mean, I understand it's breaded, but still, that's 20.
That's why I asked, like, what is it?
520 calories. 2,520 calories.
God damn.
That's I mean, that's more than even like I think JD for at your size, like 6'1" or whatever you are.
Careful, Matt. Be
no,
it was
size
careful.
Of your height,
tread
not size
gently.
Of your body. Your beautiful body.
Can we actually just speak in terms of tablespoons of ashes?
Yeah. Okay. So,
thank you.
JD's TMI. That's tablespoon mass index.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be around my daily. My 2,500? 25-ish. 23,
okay.
25.
Well, all you're getting that day is a katsu.
Okay.
Then it's the salad, 1980.
Okay.
Then it's the spaghetti meatballs, 1920. And then you were right, at least, that the chocolate caramelicious cheesecake with Snickers, a mere 1,370 calories on that. But if you had the
quantity.
Katsu with the dessert, that's almost 4,000 calories.
Yeah.
And that's no starter. There's no Buffalo Blasters, JD.
It's also the portions, though, of a Cheesecake Factory. Like, are you really eating all that katsu in one sitting?
That's a great point. I mean, I think some people are.
Okay.
But still having room for the cheesecake afterwards?
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Okay, fine. The cheesecake you share. You say 2 forks.
Sure.
Okay.
But the katsu, I think you... I mean, it's a human entree, which is, I think that was the section of the menu they have there.
Human entree.
Human-sized entree.
Size enough for humans or the size of a regular average human?
Probably the latter, actually.
Okay, yeah.
All right, let's spin the wheel one more time.
One more time.
Jerome, anything that as it spins, you're like, ooh, hope it lands on this one.
Oh, I'm looking at it, but we'll see after.
Oh, okay. You can't read while something's spinning?
Well, I didn't want to, like, spoil it, because in case it happened.
Hmm. Was it malls?
No, it was definitely taking photos and posting. I think, was it?
Taking photos
of strangers?
Taking strangers
and posting them on
social.
Okay,
well, why don't we do that then?
Okay.
Okay, as a guest, since it's the last one.
Sure.
We won't talk about malls, even though I have a lot of thoughts. Malls.
That feels...
I'm back in on malls, by the way. This is a new thing
for
me.
Wow.
Okay. Back in on malls.
What brought you back in really quickly before we go?
The stores.
Okay.
The guy goes to one Uniqlo in 5 years and he's back in on malls.
Stores. They have all the stores.
They do.
All the stores are there, indoors. Doesn't matter if it's raining. It's beautiful.
May I introduce you to a thing that we call the internet?
You're right.
No. The internet doesn't know what size I am, and I don't know what size anything
fair
is.
Enough, right. Fair enough.
Okay.
You
so
look about
8 to 9
tablespoons.
Oh, thank you. Well, unfortunately, Abercrombie & Fitch has not yet adopted that sizing system. They're still working on a classic small, medium, large.
Fair enough.
So, why do you want to talk about taking pictures of strangers and posting them on social media? Is this something you do?
Well, not intentionally, like, in the way that sounds nefarious there. But when the pandemic happened and we were doing a lot of, like, isolated walking, one of the hobbies I took on was just photography in general. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, street photography. And... to get into it, I remember like looking up stuff on YouTube, how people approach it, and it honestly just turned into an ethical question about whether you take photos of people or you sneak photos of people for the sake of posting on. And I will say it feels pretty icky. I'm not a big fan of it, especially because so often it's like it does feel voyeuristic. It does feel like they're doing it without consent. That said, like, there are times where, like, I'll take a picture of, like, a large scene, and what honestly makes the scene really interesting sometimes is just, like, the people that are in it. And
sure.
I will post it, but it's pretty rarely, if ever, a case that it's, like, I'm going to take this photo sneakily of a person and post them up that way. Or if it is, like, it has to be, like, at least obscured, like, maybe it's, like, someone's, like, silhouette or from behind, or, like, you couldn't clearly identify who it was, because it's, like, unfair to do it that way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we do live in an era now where some of the most entertaining posts are someone caught in public.
Yep.
So, you know, this is, I'm sure it's subject to scrutiny both ways.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're going to do the thing where you go up to someone and say, hey, old man, I love the creased lines on your face. Can I take one of those photography 101 portraits of you?
Right.
But I find that exactly what you were saying, that's where my mind went, Jerome, was the idea that, like, whenever I want to take a picture of someone, it's because they're doing something so stupid or wearing something so stupid.
Right.
And then I feel, I personally don't do it. I mean, mm-hmm. maybe you could go on my Instagram and find a case where I've been wrong. I don't think so. I only have 7 pictures up on Instagram. but I don't like it. But I've realized that no one seems to have a problem with this. And yeah. people's just like, well, they're in public. And I'm like, but there's obviously a difference between them being in public and the 3 people that are around them seeing them or not seeing them because they didn't even notice versus me putting it to my, you know, thousands of followers, low thousands of followers on Instagram, then someone else reposts it. And then like it does, it could be 1 to 2 degrees before it ends up on like a Reddit or something. And now sure. everyone's like, oh, that's, you know, I don't know. That's a guy that accidentally shaved bald spot into his back of his head and didn't realize or something like that. So I feel bad about it, but I've noticed that I'm in the minority here and we are in a find someone looking dumb and post them on your Instagram world right now.
What about now this has happened to me many times where I've taken like an exercise class and it's like, oh, it's such and such's 100th class. Let's get a group photo after we've been working out and I'm wearing like I'm fat and sweaty and gross and I'm like, okay. And so we're all like, you know, then you have no like, and it's you have no recourse or like, we just had a fun.
Can you choose to not be in the photo?
What's that?
Can you just choose to not be in the photo?
I mean,
no, because not rude really. To Diane. Diane woke up early every morning.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair. But like in my mind, I'm like, this class seems big enough that we won't notice like a singular like JD.
Yeah, but it's more like, where are you going to go?
Like, it, what, right.
Maybe you and can offer to take the photo.
Yeah,
maybe
that's
your own. Oh, that's very nice.
You're mm. you're 100% right, but I know it's there. And when I see it posted online, I'm like focused and I'm zooming in on me, right? Like, God damn, is that what I look like?
Well, it's, to that point, sometimes, especially like in a crowd situation and like you just happen to be in it, like there is, we obviously think about ourselves way more than anyone else would.
Right.
But like that one time that someone like comments, like, who's that weirdo in the back? Is
yes.
is all you ever need.
Yes.
Yes. I actually will invite people to search for a photo where I do look completely like a weirdo in the back. It's on Getty Images.
On the internet? Okay, just find pictures on the internet?
Yes, that's right. We're going to share where to follow me. We're going to find all those weird photos. But
no, only if you do a good job, Drum. Only if you do a good job. Don't assume that I'm going to ask where people can find you.
I'm talking to 2 producers who can completely edit me out. This is a bad idea. It's I worked 1 year of TIFF, and it was the like red carpet, and we were at the section like I was doing video for it, where everyone like all the celebrities would stop and like take all their photos, and I was in the background. You can't tell in the photo, but it was starting to rain, so I had my hood on, and you will see me with my hood on with like a really creepy smile. Behind Brie Larson.
Oh man.
Okay, this is just a humble brag here.
No, but like it's but it's so no, but the problem is because it's like I am specific about saying that like it was raining, whether you could tell or not, because I'm the only person in the photo with a hood on.
Oh right.
It's not a great look.
Here's
sweet Brie.
When you were talking about you being creepy in the background.
Well. Oh, what a great
this.
Great poll, JD. So describe poll. What's going on here.
For the audio listeners, this is our final show in Vegas as the starters, and it's a picture of Trey Kirby dressed as a showgirl and a young Jerome Chang behind him, behind the barricade, liking what he sees, I think, a little.
So, Jerome, in this picture, you're 15, 16?
Correct. Yeah. Right. I'm a young, spry 34-year-old in this, I think.
Yeah. This is like when, you know, like a rookie comes into the league and then there's a picture of them when they're 8 years old. Which is right. Jason Tatum. There's a picture with him with KD or LeBron or something like that when he's a kid.
You could say this is like if Trey is Del Curry, that's me as a young Steph, like standing by. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, this photo here, I remember... the person who you can see taking a photo of him on the other side, that's Rob Lopez, who works on a number, like used to be a producer at The Athletic, works on a number of things. I remember him telling me, hey, man, I'm going to go check the starters out over at the Concourse. I was like, sounds great.
And you were like, those losers, no thanks.
Sounds wonderful. I remember Rob was like, hey, I'm going to go say what's up to Trey. It's going to be cool. I was like, awesome, let's go do that. And yeah, we just happened to be in the front. And it didn't even occur to me at the time that I would be just on TV in that moment. And then, yeah, we have this snap that just exists to this day.
This is a screen grab of the show. Like,
this is a screen grab of the show. I think when I celebrated maybe my finished my first season with No Dunks, I put this side by side with the famous photo of Russell Westbrook looking at the MVP, as if this was me plotting my way into No Dunks that day.
And it was, and it worked. So you did it. You did a great job.
Yeah.
Now, as an offshoot of. First thing I want to say is, JD, talking about people doing those photographs at the gym, what drives me nuts is when the teacher will take a picture of the class or a video of the class to promote their, you know, class or whatever. And I'm like, you didn't want to ask if we were okay with this? Because, fuck you. It drives me up the fucking wall. That makes me nuts. They need to ask everyone's permission.
They do, Matt. It's in the release you sign when you
I was going to say, it might already be there that... Once you're in the building, everything.
Whose side are you guys on?
The side of the law.
Hey, man, you're the one that went to law school.
Yeah, that's right. I get it. I object to this plank. I was going to say that my favorite kind of viral video is a little, or viral post is like a little bit adjacent to this, where it's like someone will have a picture of a family vacation from when they were 8 years old or something. And then in the background will be the man they ended up marrying or something, like they're at Disney World and that, you know what I mean? That happens more than you think. Fascinating. Send all of those to me. If you come across those on social media, I'm a person that wants to see them. All right, Jerome, there's only one thing left to do. And that's play Subjective Trivia. So, Subjective Trivia is just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. I have my answer written here on this card, so you know I'm not cheating. So, here's how I ended up at this question. Jerome, you are a master of the short form, the viral, the web
kind.
Video post. Because this is what you do for No Dunks, mostly. I'm sure you do other things, but you cut down funny things that happen in the show or create new complete segments, and then you upload those to social. And as I said, those Google AdSense stars are cha-ching, ticking right up. So this inspired me. I looked up a few lists of what are the most classic viral videos of all time?
Okay.
And I picked four of them, and I watched them all this morning. So today's question is, of the four classic viral videos I watched, which one did I enjoy the most?
Okay.
So I hope you will know all these. I gotta tell you, my girlfriend Jill didn't know one of these, and it started an argument.
I'm worried. I feel like...
Well, Jerome, how old are you, if you don't mind us asking?
I am 39. I'm same age as Trey.
Okay, I think you're gonna know all of these. All right.
Okay.
Double rainbow guy?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay, that's a guy, he's sees two rainbows. At one point, he sees a third rainbow starting to form.
R.I.P. to that guy.
He died?
He died, yeah.
Oh, my God. Go to the cemetery and feed him.
He wouldn't mind. He wouldn't mind at all.
Something rainbow colored.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like nerds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Or those Chips Ahoy's. Don't they have like multicolored?
Yeah. Like the sprinkles that you would put on top of an ice cream.
Sure.
Yeah.
Charlie Bit My Finger.
Okay.
Classic.
Okay. Yeah. That is just, you know, a toddler with a baby sitting on his lap, and the toddler puts his finger in the baby's mouth, and the baby bites his finger, and he says, Charlie bit my finger. The Numa Numa guy.
Okay, I don't know this one.
I think I know what you're talking about. Are they lip-syncing along to...
Yes, go on.
Okay.
To the...
It's like the Maria He, like that song?
Yeah. Maria He.
Yes, right.
Maria Who. Maria Ha. Maria Ha Ha. Maria. No, JD, nothing?
I know the song. I forget how he looks when he's doing it,
but I remember it being a thing.
Okay.
It's like very expressive, right?
And I have to tell you, this was ranked at least in 2006 as the greatest viral video of all time. So I don't know where you guys have been. It beats Star Wars Kid, okay?
Oh, wow.
Also, which is the one that your girlfriend didn't see?
It was that one, yeah. So it was that one. She's not. Okay. I guess I should take back that fight we had.
Everyone's seen it, Jill. Everyone knows this video except you.
Or finally, David after dentist.
Wait,
David after dentist is again not a toddler, but like, I don't know, 7-8-year-old kid. He goes to the dentist for some reason. They put him under, and so he's on. The anesthetics are sort of wearing off, and he's going a little bit crazy. Mm. He's like, "Is this real life? Is this going to be forever?" At some point, he just starts screaming. Mm. Well, anyways, this question sucks because you don't know what one of the four is. But the question remains: of these four classic viral videos, which one did I enjoy the most? Again, and which one did I enjoy the most now as I watch it?
Not right. Yeah, that,
this morning,
key, right?
This morning you watched
yes,
it.
This morning.
Well, Jerome, what do you think?
The thing is, I don't know Matt that well, so this is like a... This is based on information of the last hour of collected data. I'm gonna personally go with Charlie Bit My Finger.
Okay. That's a good one. It's a good guess.
Is that your favorite? Is that why you're saying it?
No, not necessarily. I think it's... I think there is a thing. I mean, we are older now. Maybe there is like a certain charm to seeing like that kid do it. Like, because especially the idea of like watching it now.
Right.
And I'm wondering if there's like an added sentimentality.
Mm.
But I don't know. And I'm just going to go with it because it's also a delightful video that kind of charms people at any point.
I will say that when we were all hanging out together as the starters, if there was anyone we met named Charlie, we would call them Charlie Bit My Finger. So you are, you know, that
I'm
is.
I'm in a range. Okay.
Yes. JD? I wonder, should I have picked Leprechaun in a Tree?
I don't know that one.
Oh, they think there's a leprechaun and there's a news story about they think a leprechaun is in the tree.
Yeah.
Okay, good. One. Glad I didn't go with that one either. JD, what are you leaning on this?
I mean, I think you enjoyed them all, to be honest.
Yeah, sure. I kind of did.
Yeah. I think Charlie Bit My Finger is a classic, but it does involve a child getting hurt.
Yeah.
Which
not as much as the David after dentist.
The kid
though.
Who
that
got
kid
bit.
Is going through it.
Right.
And David got hurt too.
Charlie bit my finger again. It hurt.
You're right. I think it's Double Rainbow Guy, but I'm actually leaning towards the Numa Numa guy because he's fucking married to it. His girlfriend hadn't heard of it, and he wanted to keep it in.
Ooh. See, this is psychology, Jerome. This is psychology.
I was swayed because when we asked, it was almost like you were building up the tension of like, I hope they don't really know so I can perform this with like the most enthusiasm possible.
No, trust me, this would be going a lot better if you were like, yeah, fuck the Numa Numa guy. Hell yeah. Everyone knows that.
Right, right. And then we'd sing it together.
Yes. And that's how the show would end. We'd fade out and I'd never have to ask you what your Instagram handle was.
Right.
Okay, well, sounds like we've got a Charlie Bit My Finger. We've got a reluctant Numa Numa guy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. The man's name in the clip that I pick, his name is Gary Brolsma. Who's Gary Brolsma? Is he the Double Rainbow guy?
Is he?
Is he the Charlie Bit My Finger?
Mm.
He's not David after dentist because that guy's name's David.
Yeah.
It's the Numa Numa guy.
I know it.
Nice.
I can't believe. I mean, thousands of people are washing dishes, listening to this podcast, going, they don't know the Numa Numa guy? Gary Brolsma?
I knew it. I do know the video. I just don't remember what he looks like at all. I just know that it was like a thing. Like, I remember there was a person who lip-synced to it, and it was like one of the most viral videos ever.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, Live Your Life, Rihanna and T.I.?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't believe that song ever would have been made without Gary Brolsma's Numa Numa guy because he popularized the original song.
Right.
So it was in the zeitgeist so much that they were like, we got to sample this.
Wow.
And
it probably
and he
like
was
lines
in the video,
up really close in timing too.
Right.
All right. Well, that's subjective trivia, Jerome. Sometimes it works great. And other times it's great for the people listening because they know who the Numa Numa guy is.
Hey,
but of course.
I got it right.
You got it right.
You
and,
did get it right, yeah.
I guess it's the what you would consider the most important part of this podcast, Jerome. Where can people find you?
You can find me at Black Dragon Roll on Instagram and X. And then you can also find a lot of the work that I do with the No Dunks podcast at No Dunks Inc. on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, X, all the things there.
Perfect. Is your handle a sushi reference?
It is a sushi reference. Someone just asked me about it recently, so I had to relive exactly how it happened. But so,
unfortunately, we're out of time. Thanks so much to Jerome for
no, just I want to hear this.
Yeah, we want to hear the story about your unagi. Go ahead.
Perfect. So I didn't use Twitter, and then my friends insisted I go get it, and I was with them at the Boston Pizza at Young and Shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I was
30th
using...
coolest street in Toronto.
I was using a BlackBerry at the time. I think I signed up on a BlackBerry.
Oh.
And I didn't know what I wanted to use. And I think I'm pretty sure I just had a Black Dragon Roll that night. And that's like how it happened. But then I kind of turned it into my own personal lore, because when people hear my name is Jerome, they assume I'm a black guy.
Mm.
And when they... And then my Chinese name actually does mean dragon of the family. Uh-oh. So that works that way. So there's the black and the dragon. And then, you know, like you said, unagi.
Perfect. That's where you could find him. If you forget what Jerome's handle is, just remember, some people think he's black. He also likes sushi. And his Chinese name, which we haven't heard, means dragon of the family. Take those three pieces of information. Put them on a corkboard and you'll figure it out.
What a brilliant mnemonic device.
Support the show, patreon.com/isthisgood. That's also where you can go to sign up for a free trial and later forget it. If you have topics, email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. I could use some good emails right now. isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Rate us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Jerome for coming on. Thanks in advance for leaving a 5-star review for everyone. I'm Matt Austin, and this was Good. We'll see you next week.